translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the father of the living entities of the universe, saw that all the living entities were unattached. To increase population, He then created woman from the better half of a man's body. For woman's behavior carries away a man's mind. Please repeat after me. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, the father of the living entities of the universe, saw that all the living entities were unattached. To increase population, he then created woman from the better half of a man's body. For woman's behavior carries away a man's mind. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This entire universe is going on under the spell of sexual attachment, which was created by Lord Brahma to increase the population of the entire universe, not only in human society, but also in other species. As stated by Rishabhdev in the 5th canto, Pungsha Sriya Mithuni Bhavam Etam. The entire world is going on under the spell of sexual attraction and desire between man and woman. When man and woman unite, the hard knot of his attraction becomes increasingly tight, and thus a man is implicated in the materialistic way of life. This is the illusion of the material world. This illusion acted upon Kashyapa Muni, although he was very learned and advanced in spiritual knowledge. As stated in the Manu Samhita 2.2.15 and Srimad Bhagavatam 9.19.17, Matra Shashra Duhitrava Navi Biktashano Bhavet Balavan Indriya Gramo Vidangsham Apikarshati. A man should not associate with a woman in a solitary place, not even with his mother, sister or daughter. For the senses are so strong that they lead astray even a person advanced in knowledge. When a man remains in a solitary place with a woman, his sexual desire undoubtedly increases. Therefore the words ekanta bhutani, which are used here, indicate that to avoid sexual desires, one should avoid the company of women as far as possible. Sexual desire is so powerful that one is saturated with it if he stays in a solitary place with any woman, even his mother, sister, or daughter. So, this material nature has been described as Maithunagaro. Maithunagaro is a combination of, this word is a combination of two words, Maithun and Agaro. Maithun means copulation and Agaro means prison house. So this material nature is a prison house where everyone is tied down with sex desire. This material nature is the prison house where living entities are suffering because of their crime of disregarding the supremacy of Krishna. Because the living entities did not want to accept the authority of Krishna or supremacy of Krishna, because the living entities did not want to accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, instead, they wanted to become the supreme lord and master themselves. Those living entities, because of the crime, have been put in this prison house of material nature. And just as a prisoner is constantly punished in a prison house, similarly the living entities here, and the conditioned souls here, are continuously being punished by the in charge of this prison house, Maya Devi. Maya Devi, Durga, Mahamaya, has a trident in her hand. And with the trident, she kills a demon called Mahishasura. And that demon, that Mahishasura demon, is the personality who actually wanted to enjoy this material nature as the Supreme Personality of God. And in a way, all the conditioned souls have the tendencies of Mahishasura in them. And this tendency of lording over this material nature is killed or punished by the in charge of this prison house of material nature, Durga Devi or Mahamaya. And those this trident actually is the threefold miseries of the material. Adi Atmik, Adi Daivik, and Adi Bhautik. So this, in this material nature, everyone is continuously being punished through these threefold miseries. And the more one tries to lord over this material nature, the more he suffers out of the threefold misery. That is the law of this material nature. To the extent or to the degree a living entity tries to enjoy this material nature, to that degree the living entity is punished. So according to that formula, when a living entity gives up his desire to enjoy this material nature, then he becomes free from this punishment. He becomes actually released from this prison house of material nature. Now, this tendency to lord over the material nature ultimately culminates into enjoying through the sexual life. And this sex desire is actually the bondage, is the chain with which a living entity is tied down to the material nature. There is no way a living entity can become free from the bondage of its material nature unless and until he gives up his sex desire. And that's what has been described here, that how it is extremely difficult to become free from this material bondage, which is actually centered around sex life. It is difficult because it is Brahma's special arrangement. Brahma, in order to increase population, had to make some arrangement to make the living entities attached to this material nature. In the beginning, the living entities were not so attached at the time in the beginning of creation. We can see like how the four Kumaras, right after their appearance, they didn't want to become involved in the materialistic affairs. So they were detached from material attachment. Because a person who is situated in knowledge, he knows that this material nature is a place of misery. There is no reason to be bound to this material nature, involved in this material nature. Like an ordinary person, he is not at all attached to a prison. Does a gentleman want to go to the prison? He may go out of curiosity, but if someone says, well, you stay in the prison, what will you say? He says, please, excuse me, sir, I don't want to waste my time there. So similarly, in the beginning of creation, the living entities were very much situated in knowledge, and they did not want to become entangled with this material nature. But Brahma actually wanted living entities to become entangled to this material nature. Otherwise, the universal affairs will not be performed. Brahma realized after he received the instruction from Krishna, he realized what was the purpose of his being in this universe. And for the sake of Krishna, he accepted this responsibility, no matter how thankless a task it is. And for the sake of Krishna's desire, Brahma accepted this service, and he realized that the universe needs to be filled up with living entities with material bodies. So he started his creative work, and then Brahma saw that the living entities were not attached enough to the material. To let the material nature function properly, living entities have to become really attached to the material nature. Unless and until people are attached to the material nature, they don't feel like doing. They don't feel like getting involved in the affairs of the material nature. So in order to make them attached to the material nature, Brahma created women. And how did he do that? He created a woman out of the better half of a man's body. Like, it's out of a better half of a man's body. That means, naturally, a man is attracted to woman. And also we know that the woman's form is actually the form of Maya Devi herself. So this is the world of Maya, and Maya has given a form which is identical to her form to a woman. Therefore that form is very, very attractive to a man. And it is because of this attraction for each other that man and woman get united and ultimately get tied up to this material nature. Now the question may arise, is it that Brahma specifically created this man, woman, or rather woman's body to make the men attached? No. Actually different living entities have different mentalities. Some people want to remain attached to the material nature, and for them to become attached to the material nature, Brahma actually provided a specific type of body. And in the ultimate issue, Srila Prabhupada is saying that in the material nature, the conditioned souls want to become purushas. Purusha means enjoyer, or purusha means a male. A living entity wants to be a male. And as a male, he wants to enjoy this material nature. And the material nature is personified in the form of a woman. So the ultimate consideration for enjoyment is to enjoy a woman through sex life. But then Prabhupada pointed out that in the third canto, Prabhupada is pointing out that the supreme Purusha actually is Krishna, and everyone else is Prakriti. So both, all the living entities, whether he's a man or a woman, actually are Prakriti. They are not meant for enjoying this material nature. They are not meant for enjoying, but they are meant for meant to be enjoyed. That is the That is the real situation of every living entity. The supreme enjoyer is Krishna, and everyone else is enjoyed, or everyone else is prakriti, Krishna's objects of Krishna's enjoyment. But when a living entity wants to imitate Krishna or tries to become the lord of this material nature, then he falls into this, or rather tries to enjoy like Krishna, then he falls into this material nature. And in this material nature he gets the chance to enjoy like Krishna. In the spiritual life, in the spiritual world, the supreme enjoyer Krishna has a supreme enjoyment with the gopis of Vrindavan. And a living entity tries to imitate Krishna, and he gets a chance in the material nature, like through matter, they get a chance to imitate that activity of Krishna in a perverted way. And that is the man and woman relationship. But that man and woman relationship is actually the ultimate cause of a living entity's bondage. And unless and until one gives up that tendency, he cannot become free from this material bondage. And by the law, by the arrangements of material nature, a man wants to enjoy a woman and becomes very attached to the woman, and then in his next life he gets a woman's body, and then in this way, by the arrangement of material nature, living entities are transmigrating from one body to another. But in the ultimate issue, everyone, both men and women in this material nature, are trying to imitate Krishna. Sometimes they get the body like Krishna and tries to imitate Krishna, thinking that he has become Krishna. And sometimes he is put into a body which is meant for a man's enjoyment, that is, in a woman's body. But ultimately, both men and women, all are actually trying to become purushas. All are trying to become the enjoyer. And that is how the living entities are tied down to the material nature. And the only way a living entity can become free from this material bondage is by giving up his sex desire, giving up the tendency to lord over this material nature, giving up the tendency to imitate Krishna. But that is possible only through devotional service. Otherwise it's not possible. Like, as long as a man is exposed, unless and until a man is in ignorance about Krishna and his nature, no matter how hard he tries, he cannot become free from this enjoying propensity. Because a living entity is Krishna's superior energy, whereas this material nature is Krishna's inferior energy. So as long as one is exposed to Krishna's inferior energy, he will naturally feel like exploiting this inferior energy, because the natural tendency of the superior to dominate over the inferior. So the tendency to dominate over this material nature, which is Krishna's inferior energy, is natural. Therefore, the only way one can be freed from this propensity or this tendency is by being conscious of Krishna's superior energy. Like, living entities are coming from Krishna's superior energy, prakritim vidhi me param, or para prakriti. But this material nature is aparayam ifastannam. This material nature is apara, inferior. And the living entities are para, superior energy. So the only way the superior energy of Krishna, the living entities, can be freed from this tendency to lord over is only when a living entity becomes exposed or conscious to even superior energy than himself. And that is Krishna. And Krishna is devotional service. So only when a living entity becomes engaged in devotional service to Krishna after recognizing who Krishna is, then only he can become free from this material bondage. And that is called the devotional service, which is living entity's only means for freedom from his material bondage. Otherwise, this material nature is doibi hesha gunamayi. This material nature is Krishna's energy, it is gunamayi, it is material nature is composed of three modes, and it is duratraya. It is impossible to surmount. But then Krishna is assuring that mame bhaje prapadyante maya me tantara. One who takes shelter of me, he can very easily get across this maya. And what is taking shelter of Krishna? Taking shelter of Krishna means becoming his devotee. So, time and time again it has been pointed out in the Vedic scriptures that only through devotional service can one become free from material bondage, not otherwise. Why? Because Krishna is the supreme attractive. And when one becomes attracted to Krishna, all attractive supreme personality of Godhead, then he loses his attraction for anything else. But unless and until one is exposed to that all attractive supreme personality, he cannot become free from the material bondage, because he will automatically be attracted to the female form, no matter whoever he is. There is no way a man can become free from that attraction to a woman unless and until he becomes Krishna conscious. He may force himself, he may perform great austerities, and he may try to withdraw his senses and do all kinds of things, but in the ultimate issue he won't be able to become free from this attraction for the opposite sex. There are many, many instances in the Vedas where great personalities who performed austerities, very severe austerities, and they were very powerful people, and they didn't want to get involved with him. But they fell down. There are sages like Vishwamitra. He was a very, very powerful person. But one day he just heard the ankle bells of Menaka, a celestial dancing girl. And he opened his eyes and he saw her. He became attracted. Sobhari Rishi, he was meditating under water in Jamuna. He was so powerful that he could live under water for not only one or two days, but for years together. And this way he tried to detach himself from the material nature to meditate upon the super soul. That's what the yogis tried to do. But one day he just saw a fish family. And he thought, oh, so nice to have a family. And he fell down. In this way, there are so many wonderful examples of how great personalities have fallen down. But at the same time, we see the example of Haridas Thakur. Not too long ago, only 500 years ago, Haridas Thakur, Maya Devi herself came to allure Haridas Thakur, to tempt him in the middle of the night. But she couldn't succeed. So in this way we can see that only the devotees can actually withstand this kind of, all these onslaughts of Maya, because they have been equipped with Krishna consciousness. And in this way, one gets to see that how devotional service is the only answer to free one, to only answer to this material allurements and material bondage. And devotional service begins with prapatti, surrender to Krishna. Mame bhaji prapadvante. When one surrenders unto Krishna, then automatically he becomes free from sex desire. Because he then realizes that only Krishna is the enjoyer and everyone else is Krishna's servant. Just like a servant doesn't want to illegally enjoy his master's property, but instead he tries to provide for master's enjoyment. Similarly, a devotee recognizing Krishna as the supreme master always engages in providing for Krishna's enjoyment, and he doesn't care for his enjoyment. But Krishna provides him with everything. Like, it's not that when one becomes a devotee, he doesn't enjoy. A devotee also enjoys. Although he doesn't want to enjoy himself, but Krishna arranges for his enjoyment. Yes, but a devotee doesn't enjoy through the so-called materialistic enjoyment. Devotee doesn't enjoy through sex life. That is not accepted by a devotee. Devotee has his enjoyment in a different way. That enjoyment comes from the depth of his heart, his experience at the depth of his heart. His enjoyment is felt from within, experienced from within. And actually, although in the material platform, conditioned souls think that sex life is enjoyable, but actually it is the most painful experience. But due to the illusion, due to his illusion, one thinks that he is enjoying when he is indulging in sex life. But it is actually one of the most painful experiences. Therefore, a person who is situated in knowledge, he doesn't want to indulge in sex life. For a cultured human being, for a civilized human being, he just uses his sexual ability only for procreation, out of duty. It's not that he is hankering after sex life. But he gets married and he accepts the responsibility to produce children, Krishna conscious children, for the benefit of this world. He accepts this big burden and a painful burden with a sense of duty, sense of responsibility. But otherwise, if he could, then he would have said, well, I don't want to get involved. And also, that's why it is pointed out time and time again that spiritual life is based on celibacy. Anyone who wants to make spiritual advancement must become a
celibate.
Unless and until one becomes a celibate, he can't make spiritual life. But this celibacy is not an artificial celibacy, but it's a natural thing. As one bhakti parishanu bhavo bhiraktir anmatya chaikash. As one develops his attachment to Krishna, he naturally becomes disgusted to this material. Not only detached, bhirakti in literal sense means disgusted with material. Actually, the taste of Krishna consciousness is so sweet that even to think of this material in involvement appears to be disgusting to him. So, Krishna consciousness is the answer to all our problems, is the solution to all the problems. And very fortunately, we have received this Krishna consciousness due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Otherwise, we would have been in the deepest darkness. We wouldn't even have known what we are existing for, what to speak of, what the goal of our life is. But Srila Prabhupada has rescued us from this deepest darkness of ignorance, and he has placed us in the association of devotees at his lotus feet and at the lotus feet of their lordships, Radha Krishna. And now we must take full advantage of it and go back to God. And one important thing to remember here is that in this age of Kali, the only way to protect ourselves from the onslaughts of Maya is to remain in the association of devotees. As it has been pointed out, that oikanto bhavena, ekanto bhavena, that in a solitary place, whenever one is in a solitary place, all kinds of dirty thoughts naturally rush into his mind. The dirty thoughts naturally rush into his mind. So one should not be alone in this age. That means one should always be in the association of devotees. One may say, well, I'm in the city, there are so many people. No, they are not people. They are actually agents of Kali, agents of Maya. So to be in their association alone is the most dangerous thing. Actually, the cities are actually human jungles. And just to be in a forest alone is very, very dangerous. Similarly, to be alone in this material nature is extremely dangerous. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to protect us, gave this Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan means collective endeavor for spiritual advancement. So we must try to always remain in the association of devotees. And if we remain in the association of devotees, then no matter how weak we may be, we'll be safe. But if we are alone, then no matter how strong we may be, it'll take only a few hours or a few days. Therefore, our only shelter is actually the association of devotees. And that's why Srila Prabhupada took so much trouble to create this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. A society of devotees, where everybody can have the association. And thus, one can remain safely situated in his spiritual life. And what to speak of when you get the association of the Swiss devotees in Zurich. So, such a wonderful temple with so many wonderful devotees. And when we remain in the association of devotees, then we will be protected. Because the association of devotees is Krishna's internal image. Whereas Maya is Krishna's external image. Maya is very strong. Daibihesha gunamui mamo maya durattaya. Maya is Krishna's maya. It's Krishna's energy. Therefore it's very strong. And no individual living entity is able to withstand Maya's allurement or Maya's onslaught. If one thinks that he is going to overcome Maya, conquer Maya, then he is nothing but a fool. It is important to realize that Maya is very strong and we can never defeat Maya or overcome Maya's influence. Now, how can one, we may be weak and we may have a very strong enemy. So what's the best way to defeat that strong enemy? To make alliance with someone who is stronger than the enemy. Right? So Maya is strong, but Krishna's internal potency, the association of devotees, is even stronger. So if we stay with the devotees, then Maya won't be able to do anything. And in our practical experiences also we have seen that although many of us are very weak, but because we are in the association of devotees, we are safe. Although there are many strong, very powerful devotees, strong devotees, and very advanced devotees, as soon as they left ISKCON and went away, they fell down. And also, devotional service is so joyful that everything else becomes insignificant. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it has been described that when Gop Kumar was going back to Godhead, when he was going out of the material nature, he went past the different layers, the layer of earth, water, fire, etc. Then the eighth layer, the ultimate layer, was the layer of Prakriti. Before reaching Brahma Jyoti, out of this material nature, he came to the area of Prakriti. And there, Prakriti personified was worshipping the Mohini Murti of the Lord, the Lord in his Mohini form. And so that is the region of Maya herself. And when the living entity was going out, Maya actually offered him, "Why are you going? Stay and enjoy with me." But Gop Kumar offered obeisances to her, said that, "You are Krishna's sister himself, Krishna's sister. You are the controller of this universe, and without your blessing, no one can actually go back to Krishna, go back to the spiritual sky. So please bless me that I can reach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord." So in this way, a devotee, due to his attraction for Krishna, can overcome any other attraction, because all those other attractions are secondary, or they become insignificant compared to attraction to the Supreme Personality of God. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comment or question? Yes, Devinath.
What is the actual value of the materials? I mean, you said it was placed like the house sold or turned away from.
Yeah. It's just as prison house has two aspects. One is to punish the criminal, and the other aspect is to rectify his consciousness. To punish the criminal for his crime, and at the same time rectify his consciousness, so that he can become fit to become a good citizen. So in material nature, in one hand, she is punishing us for our crimes, for our criminal activities, but at the same time, she is actually preparing us to go back to Krishna. Not population need to be increased, but different living entities have to be provided with different types of bodies. Because at the time of creation, what happens is the living entities are injected into the material nature. Now those living entities in the material nature need both subtle and gross. So Brahma was actually providing for different types of bodies for different living entities. Like, it's not that the king creates the prison and then he says, now that I have created the prison, I have to fill up the prison. King doesn't think that way. The king actually creates the prison for the criminals. And the criminals, due to their criminal activities, are sent to the prison. The king doesn't say, well, you go to the prison because I built the prison house, somebody has to man it. No. Yeah. So, with two things, first of all you have to understand that Brahma's position is so high that we can't even understand what his attraction was like. It is obviously not like our attraction for the opposite sex. And the other consideration is that from that we can understand that in the material nature, everyone is agitated by the allurements of mind. Yes, absolutely.
You complimented the Swiss
Well, sometimes, sometimes that kind of pride is just, I mean, in one sense, that pride is just blind, false ego. Shabir bada ho shukhare. And I'm sorry, homo ijjati. But the land where one is born, he considers that to be worshipable. So that is actually stupidity. But the compliments for Swiss devotees was not exactly for their being Swiss, but the temple here is so wonderful and the devotees here are so wonderful. That's what was being complimented. Not that because they're Swiss. There are plenty of Swiss outside who we don't even want to see. Not that, but Prabhupada had other considerations. Prabhupada had the consideration that the Indians are not joining. He often used to lament that Indians are not joining. Indians are not coming forward. Because although they are so fortunate to be born so close to Krishna conscious culture, the spiritual culture, but they are completely averse to it. And that's what I was about to say. Well, Bengali devotees may be nice, but hardly anyone is joining. So, actually it's true, like, it's fortunate for them to be born in a culture which is so, like, you know, when someone is born as a doctor's son, he gets a chance, better chance to become a doctor. So those who are born in India, they're so close to Indian culture, I mean Vedic culture. And what we are trying to practice is the Vedic culture. But in the ultimate issue, it doesn't really matter where one is born. The ultimate consideration is that how one is accepting Krishna consciousness. Someone may be born in a faraway land, which is quite obvious in ISKCON. The most of the devotees in ISKCON, they were not born in the Vedic culture or Indian culture. They were born in, you know, different types of other cultures. But they appreciated Krishna consciousness so much that they have sacrificed everything for the sake of Krishna consciousness. Well, fine. Why sex life is so relishable, so called? Because one loses semen. Now, what is semen? Semen is actually the essence of the body, the essence of our life. Now, just for the sake of a flickering pleasure for a fraction of a second, one is draining out the essence of his body, the love, his vitality, his vital energy. Like, for example, I don't exactly know the quantity, but it takes an incredible amount of blood to produce one drop of semen. Right? Now, if somebody comes and tells you that, well, give me so many pints of blood and I'll give you this enjoyment, what will you say? Will you agree to that? If somebody says, give me, you know, 5 liters of blood, what will be your response? You'll say, forget it, I don't want that. Because the blood to me is more valuable. Similarly, when, I mean, what a man is actually paying for a sexual act is even more than 25 liters of blood. So why should a man in his proper state of mind want to indulge in that act? But due to the influence of Maya, he thinks that is the ultimate goal of life. Like the modern thinking is that the sex is the ultimate goal of life. Everything is centered around sex. So an intelligent man will not accept that proposal. It's only whatever pleasure is there is just illusory. Well, we can also say, I mean, a woman may not feel the pain immediately, but as a result of that act, she gets pregnant. And the pregnancy is a very, very painful, painful experience. It has been, so childbirth is pain of child, giving a birth to a child has been compared to, say, it's the same similar kind of pain that one experiences at the time of death. And I heard people say, Mataji said that. At that time, they felt that they will never indulge in this activity. But then they forget. Then they get pregnant again. Admitted.
And sometimes it says that even beyond the state enjoyment, there is this desire for power.
It is beyond because it is subtle. Because it is subtle. So somebody who is not so gross, I mean not so grossly involved, like, but he wants that enjoyment in a subtle platform. But at the bottom of it, that sex desire is there. But they don't manage to do that, that's the point. They don't manage to do that. And besides devotion, there is no way. There is no way one can be free from material attachment. They may theoretically think that it's possible, but in the long run, it's not really possible. All these asuras are the devil, according to Krishna. Right? Anything that takes us away from Krishna or anyone who is opposed to Krishna is devil. But the Christianity doesn't have proper information, detailed information that they have. Like, we are not just saying devil, we are classifying the devil. The Donu's sons are Danavas, Diti's sons are Daityas. So this way, you know, there are asuras, rakshasas. You know, like, we can go back to the very origin. Whereas they are just saying devil, but who is devil? They say the devils have horns and things. But the thing is that, you know, like, maybe in the subtle bodies they have horns. But apparently, Prabhupada says that the demons is not that the demons are ugly looking people, vicious looking people. But demons are the people, those who are averse to Krishna and his devotees. Yes, Maharaj. Yeah. No, Maya Devi herself is worshipping Mohini. You see, in different layers, the Lord is being worshipped. In the layer of earth, he is being worshipped as Varahadeva. In water, he is being worshipped as Meena, Matsya. In fire, he is being worshipped as Vaishana. Then, here, he is being worshipped. I think that those next seven layers are Pradumna, Aniruddha, Pradumna, Shankarshan, and Vasudeva. No, not Vasudeva. Here, layer, I forgot. Then after that, these four layers are actually Shankar, Aniruddha, Pradumna, and Shankarshan. Vasudev is actually the Shuddha Sattva. There is Vasudev. Yes?
Yeah. One first I heard my first mistake is that the woman said that Lord Chaitanya suffered of love respect any respect for other persons. All the people
Well, that's it will be nice if actually as one makes advancement, he develops this quality of Amani Manaka, not desiring any respect for himself, he offers all respect to others. But if someone is not that advanced, now does it mean that he should give up Krishna consciousness or stop following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? One may not be perfect now, but he is aspiring for perfection. If he remains in the movement, continues, he will become Sishan. But there is another consideration, and that is sometimes a teacher has to tell the student for his benefit. You see, if a teacher follows that, oh, Amani Manas, and I can't tell anything to my students, I should treat my students as my spiritual master, then the whole thing will be completely mixed, whole thing will get completely mixed up. So sometimes senior devotees, take up the position of a teacher and tell the junior devotees when they are wrong, what they should do and what they should not do. And in this respect, we must remember that spiritual life is based on Shraddha, respect. So if respect is not there, they won't make spiritual effort. Therefore, sometimes senior devotees may tell them that, look, you must respect senior devotees. I mean, he himself doesn't want respect. But for the benefit of the junior devotees, he tells them, you must respect. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.